guys. I've got some scriptures. If I break down a wall, I'm reading them. Someone jump in and read it for me. Today's key verse is 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So I want to ask this question: what is the power of prayer? I've heard people say all sorts of things. I've heard them say that, you know, God will grant us absolutely anything if you pray for a new car. I don't think that's it. So today I want to look at some scripture and think about what is the power of prayer. And I think probably this week a lot of us have been praying more than we normally do. I know myself, I need to pray more. It seems like when things get going good, you forget to turn to God. God should be our closest friend. Should be someone we can talk to on a daily basis. Say, Lord, I just ate that cheeseburger at McDonald's and it was real good. Please don't let it haunt me in a few minutes. I used to get fussed as a child because I would use prayer time as vengeance. If my father had punished me, I didn't think it was fair. I would ask for my father's forgiveness, for my God to forgive my father. And you know, I don't think that's the right way to handle things. Even as adults, sometimes I've done that. My wife kind of chides me. But we do need to be able to talk to God because He's our friend. The idea that power is inherent in prayer is a very popular one. According to the Bible, the power of prayer is quite simply the power of God who hears and answers prayers. The Lord Almighty can do all things. There's nothing impossible for Him. In Luke 1:13, 1:37, for nothing will be impossible with God. I think sometimes we forget this. He created the whole world. He created the universe. We think we're smart. We've created computers. We've done amazing things. Yet we can't create life. We can't even hardly sustain it. God has ultimate power. The Lord invites us, His people, to pray to Him. Prayer to God should be made persistently. In Luke 18, there's one of the parables of prayer. Now God was telling them the parable to show them at all times they ought to pray, and not lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge, who did not fear God, and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection for my opponent. For while he was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? There's several examples I can think of in the Bible. Remember when God told Abraham he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Remember how brave Abraham was? We need to be able to go boldly before God. Plead our case. I hate to say kind of wear God down, but say, look, we want this. We need this. Sometimes He will tell us no. We need to go to God in thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your interest be known to God. God wants to commune with us. He wants to hear our thoughts, our prayers. We need to be thankful. I do know that I feel like in my life, for so many times, you know, it's like, please, Lord, please help me with this job. Please help me with this sick. Please help me with my children. And then something happens great, and the first thing you tell your friends, boy, I was lucky. I know that, you know, if you do something for someone and they are ungrateful, how we tend to get our feelings hurt. Think how much more God has created everything for us. Feels when we feel like we're just lucky and don't realize that He's brought us everything. This is let's skip on. We need to ask in faith. James 1:5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all generously without reproach, and he'll be given. We need to ask for our shortcomings. The next scripture is kind of a hard one. We all want what we want. We know our needs. At least we think we do. And, you know, this is probably part of the most famous prayer where Jesus teaches prayer. Pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Can we really pray that prayer? Your will be done. Do you think of times that people have given their lives so that things will happen? Jesus gave his life. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed all night. Lord, let this burden pass from me. Do you think Jesus wanted to be crucified? Did he want to suffer? He was praying to have it taken away from him. So I think this is the hard part of our prayer. Your will be done. I think the story of Job, and Job's one of the most difficult stories for me. God, you know, uses this as an example. He's a faithful servant. And then he lets Satan torture Job. And I remember people saying, well, it was all better in the end. Like, really? He lost his children? Yes, he had new children, but you never get over those losses. And I say, when I say never, we never get over it in this lifetime. I think we'll realize that all of our worries and our sorrows are futile. When we get to the next life, we're like, well, everybody's here. Our life was just like that. And it's so hard to remember that. And the older I get, the more I'm like, wow, I just got married yesterday. I remember meeting this beautiful young girl who was sweet mate with my sister. And, you know, we've had 30 plus years already. We've been through a lot together. But when I look back on it, it was just yesterday. And I know at the end of our lives, it'll seem like it passed a blink of an eye. And then we'll realize that our sorrows were for naught. We need to pray for the glory of God. John 14:13-14. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. What is the purpose of our lives? To glorify God. If what we're asking for doesn't glorify God, did it really get back to, is this what Jesus wants? Is this his kingdom? Is this what God wants of us? And from the right heart, James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. We need to not come to God being boastful. We need to be humble. We need to not pray out loud so others hear and think we're righteous people. Because we all know in our hearts we've done things wrong. We've sinned, we fall short. And it's one thing I really appreciate about this body here is struggles that we are going through, and people come forward and said that they've gone through similar struggles and realize that we're all in this together. We don't brag about our sins and say, look, I've done all these crazy things, but through humility, share our sorrows and our struggles that we may help others. God hears our prayers of his children. He commands us to pray. He promises to listen when we do. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him unto his ears. That's from Psalms 18:16. We know our God answers prayer. When we call out, he answers. Another idea that a lot of Christians have is that the amount of faith we have determines whether or not God will answer our prayers. However, sometimes the Lord answers our prayers in spite of our lack of faith. If you want to look at Acts 12, I didn't make a slide for this one. church prays for Peter's release. And when God answers their prayers, that's in 7 through 11, he releases them from prison, Peter knocks on the door, and the people pray and refuse to believe it. They pray for him to be released, but they refuse to expect their prayers to be answered. How often are we like this? We pray for something, I know I'm this way. I pray for something and I expect the worst. It's hard. I'd like to tell you I know how to fix that, but I don't. God says we have faith of a mustard seed, you move a mountain, and I think I can't hardly move an ant. We all doubt, and only through practice can we get better. Don't beat yourself for this, because I'm sure you're like me. When you pray at the same hand, you think, this isn't going to work. But we've got to. We've got to put our faith in Jesus. The power of prayer doesn't flow from us. It's not special words we say or the way we say them. It's not a direction we face, position of our bodies. Prayer doesn't come through artifacts, holding beads, holding a cross. The power of prayer comes through God, the Omnipotent. The one who hears our prayers and answers them. Whether or not he chooses to grant our petitions or deny our requests, whether or not we know that God is the source of the power. There's nothing we can do ourselves. It's all God. God always answers prayers. Sometimes his answer is no. And sometimes it's because of what we ask. I think I may have shared this one. I had a friend who told me he was just sure he was going to win the lottery. He'd been on his knees praying all week, begging for God, and he had faith, and he knew God was going to answer. And I think I hurt his feelings, but I said, well, that's kind of like asking God to damn you to hell. I don't think he's going to do that. The scripture says it's harder for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle, for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, than a rich man to go to heaven. And if you read the Bible and then pray for that, it seems like a huge mistake. Those of you who are parents, how many times have your children asked for things? I want to eat the whole box of Girl Scout cookies. Luckily now I can do that. Or 10 or 15 boxes. But our parents tell us no, not because they hate us. Not because they want us to be miserable. But because they love us. Because they care about us. Because they want what's best for us. And that's what God tells us now. As I draw this lesson to a conclusion, I want you to think of 3 men of faith. Pray. The book of Daniel is an amazing book, but this is one of my favorite stories in Daniel. This is from Daniel 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been ordered to bow down to this golden idol the king had made. And they knew that there was only one God to pray to. And the king points out to the king, and these are rulers of the kingdom. They're Jewish descent. And the king's furious with him. He goes, you haven't followed my decree. I'm going to burn you if you don't. I'm going to give you a chance. You will bow down. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve will deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image you have set up. That's the type of faith we need. We beg and we plead and we've cried. And God tells us no. We need to know there's a reason. We need to have the faith. If God saves us from the fire, so be it. If not, he's got a better plan. I hope this week that you can learn to talk with God more, that you can share with God, that you can ask for God. I know we're all going to go boldly through this week praying for Ryan. Be prayer with me as I conclude this lesson. Lord, please make us your servants. Please make us, let us be your friend. Let us learn to share our hearts, our thoughts, our desires. Please invoke in us the strength, the courage to stand up for what you want. Give us the strength to be able to look in your enemy's eyes and say, it doesn't matter what you do to me. It doesn't matter what you think of me. I love you. God loves you. And we're going to do what I got. Lord, you ask that again for Ryan that you be with him. Lord, please bring him in. We ask this in your son's name. Amen.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair.